You're listening to media from University Lutheran Church and Student Center. We are a multi-generational, Jesus-centered community of scripture, faith, and grace located in Tallahassee, Florida, on the campus of Florida State University. To learn more and to get connected to other resources, please visit universitylutheranchurch.org. We hope that the next few moments are a time when God speaks into your life by the power of His Holy Spirit about His Son, Jesus Christ.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Three in One, who has come in order to bring us a faith that is worth investigating. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, so I just got back from being down in Orlando for several meetings, and a lot of times when I go down to Orlando for these meetings, I shoot a text to a friend of mine who now lives in Orlando, and I shot him a text and said, hey, I'm in town, do you want to do something? And sometimes, to be honest, I send that text with a little bit of trepidation in my heart. Because when I send this to this friend, this guy named John, well, John is kind of a foodie, like a big foodie, and the kind of foodie that takes me to restaurants where the plate is about yay so big, and you're paying like $35 for it. And sometimes I kind of go into this and go, oh boy, if John and I are going out, I've got to be ready, you know, to apply for the loan afterwards. And yet it's a good time. It's a good time hanging out with John. It's a good time that we have together. And it was interesting this time. Both of us had things that were going on, so we're getting together late. And this time, John said, hey, do you want to just come over to my house and we'll sit around and we'll drink bourbon together? And I said, yes. Yeah, for many reasons, but, you know, partially because this is a little bit more low key. It's not going to be quite as expensive, and it's going to be a little bit more intimate. It's just going to be the two of us hanging out, and so there's something to that invitation that I think starts us thinking in the right direction to the invitation that we have as we are baptized into the kingdom of God. After all, baptism is that exact thing. It tells us we have a place reserved for us in the kingdom of God. It tells us that that we have that place, and we can reject the invitation, but that doesn't mean that the place isn't going to be there for us. And that's what it means for us to be baptized. It means that we're in this place where we know Christ has died for me, and because Christ has died for me, I know with certainty that He has a place for me in His kingdom. But if there's a place for me in His kingdom, well, then I have to start asking the question, well, what are we doing, Jesus? You know, Jesus, are we going to sit around your solo stove and drink bourbon together? Or are we going out to an expensive restaurant? Or are we doing something else? What does it mean for me to hang out in this life with Jesus? And that's a big question. Because depending on what's going on, sometimes I think we can shy away from even the people that we love the most if they're going to something that we don't want to go to. And sometimes I think we get there with Jesus, where we go, Jesus, I love you, but I'm not sure about the stuff you want to do together. Jesus, I love you, but it'd be a whole lot easier to hang out with you if we did some other event. And that's what's coming up in this reading that we have from the Old Testament in Micah. There's this this heavenly courtroom scene that's developing in that reading. You have this opening that says, hear what the Lord says, arise, plead your case before the mountains. So God here is saying, hey, people of Israel, get up. And I want you to come to the witness stand. And by the way, while you're at the witness stand, the people that are hearing what you have to testify to, your jury in some ways, is the mountains. My creation. My creation is hearing what you have to say. And so that's what's happening here, is that there's this opening of the courtroom scene. And as we get further into it, he says, for the Lord has an indictment against his people, and he will contend with Israel. Oh, my people, what have I done to you? How have I wearied you? Answer me. And in that question, there's this thing of like, he's saying, I'm your God. And we're meant to be together. And yet, I don't get why it is that you're not wanting to do the stuff that I've given you to do together with me. He's asking the people of Israel, what is it about the stuff that I want you to do that you don't want to do? What is it about the things that I've given for us to do together as God and his people that you have said, maybe I'll catch you next time? And so he continues. For I brought you up out of the land of Egypt. I redeemed you from the house of slavery. I sent you before Moses and Aaron and Miriam. Oh, my people, remember Balak, the king of Moab. And it keeps on continuing on. And it says that you may know the righteous acts of the Lord. He's saying all of this stuff that we have in our history, all of these other times that we've hung out together, all of those times where we hung out together under Moses, all of those times that we hung out together that I was giving you great stuff. Don't you remember those times? And now, why is it that you're ghosting me and not replying to my texts anymore? And so the people respond. They say, oh, well, with what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself to the God on high? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? So you already get a sense of how they're seeing their relationship with God. They see this relationship as just being something that's about kind of what they're doing, what they're sacrificing. And all of a sudden, it's clear that the people of Israel aren't really seeing that this is a thing where it's a relationship with God, but they just see it as these sort of religious acts. And religious acts are fine. I mean, they should be. You're in a church. You're doing religious acts right now. You're listening to this sermon. That's a religious act. When you come up here to take communion, that's a religious act. And so religious acts by themselves, not a bad thing. Religious acts divorced from a love of the God who has invited you into those things, that's where it gets weird. And that's where these people are at. So they start off with that sense of, burnt offerings, calves a year old. These are all fairly normal things. But then they start to go off the rails. Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams? Can you imagine 1,000 rams? I know that 1,000 is one of those numbers where we just kind of stop thinking. But 1,000 rams being slaughtered, being sacrificed all at once, like that's a pretty big deal. And then they go a little bit further, a lot further, 10,000s. And not just 10,000 barrels of oil, 10,000 cups of oil, 10,000 rivers of oil. Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? And all of a sudden, you see what happens when we start to divorce this connection that we have with God from the religious acts in our lives. We start to see them as becoming overwhelming things. We start to see the religious actions in our lives becoming things that it's impossible for us to do this. And if it's impossible for us to do these things, well, then why would you want to do them? You know, this is like a Christian saying, well, how often should I go to communion? Should I go to communion every day? Should I go to communion every hour? Should I just carry around some bread and some wine with me so that I can make sure that on the dot at every 30 seconds I'm taking the body and blood of Christ into my body? There gets to be this kind of crazy thing. How often do I need to remember that I'm forgiven? Do I need to obsess over this in my life so that at this point I'm just always thinking about, oh, that was a sin, I need to be forgiven? And again, those aren't bad things. Communion's not a bad thing. Remembering that you're forgiven, not a bad thing. Remembering that you're baptized, not a bad thing. Coming to church, not a bad thing. And all of us, honestly, could probably do some of those things more, and they'd probably be good for us. But they're not good for us if they're divorced from the relationship that we have with God. Because if we do that, then they just become these things that we do in order to effectually save ourselves. And God steps back in for the people of Israel. He finishes up our little reading here by saying, he has told you, old man, what is good. What does the Lord require of you? But to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. Now, those things show up on coffee cups and posters, and a lot of times it becomes kind of a cliche. But even these things can turn negative as well. Because they can just be things that we say, oh, well, I need to do this. I need to do that. I need to do these things on a more regular basis. Because we can even take these things and we can try to separate them from the reality that God loves us. But what he's doing in this text is he's saying, you know, maybe it's worthwhile to stop thinking so much about all of the stuff that you're doing. And maybe it's worthwhile to just simplify a little bit and think about whose party you're going to. And it's not about the restaurant that we go to. It's not about the bourbon that we drink by the fire. It's not about the movie that we see together. It's about the people that we're there with. And here, it's about the person that we're here with. The person of Jesus Christ who has died on the cross in order to forgive our sins. The person who has promised us eternal life. The person that has given his own self so that he could be with us. There's a lot of things that we can do together with him. We can come to communion. We can pray. We can read his word. But all of those things have to be focused in on the real reason that we're doing them, which is that we love him. And he's shown us that he loves us. And if we can comprehend that, we can do a lot of things together. John and I have done a lot of things together. We've gone to a lot of really expensive, awful restaurants together. We've gone to church things together because he's kind of doing something else, but he's still a pastor like I am. So we've done stuff together in that realm. We've gone to other things. I have an invitation to go to a show of a band that he likes that if I go, it's going to be because I love John. And that brings us then rocketing forward to the gospel. And all of these pretty tough things that Jesus says that we're blessed in. We're blessed when we're poor in spirit. We're blessed when we mourn. We're blessed when we're meek. We're blessed when we hunger and thirst for righteousness. We're blessed when we're merciful, meaning that we have to give of ourselves to show mercy. We're blessed when we're pure in heart because we know how difficult that is. We're blessed when we're peacemakers because we really like to hold on to grudges. We're blessed when we are persecuted for righteousness' sake. We're blessed in all of these things, not because we're doing those things, but because of the one that we're doing them with. Because Jesus Christ has promised to meet us in the poverty of our spirit. Because Jesus has promised to meet us in the meekness of our souls. That Jesus Christ has promised to meet us in everything that we do, even religious things like being here at worship, even things like walking out and talking to our neighbors about our Lord who we love so much. In all of those things, we get to have fun. We get to enjoy it. We get to say, I'm blessed to be in my job, which I maybe hate, to go to that class that you maybe don't like so much. Not because it's fun, but because you're there with Jesus Christ. And you love him. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this media from University Lutheran Church and Student Center. To learn more and to get connected to other resources, please visit universitylutheranchurch.org. If you would like to financially support more media from University Lutheran, please visit our website and click the Give Now button, which will enable you to engage in the Christian discipline of giving tithes and offerings to God through His church. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord lift up His face upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.